It's interesting when you listen to these readings today, the human component of the church hasn't changed much. The talk about here about wealth and argument and so forth. And then good women who care for those who preach the gospel out of their own resources. Must have been a group always traveling with Jesus. A group of men out of whom he finally picked 12 and made them the new patriarchs of the new Israel. And then these women must have been widows for the most part, who traveled along, walking, and cared for them. Now, if we look at this first reading, what can we get out of it? Not being bishops, you know. Now, this is to Timothy. Teach and urge these things. There is no religion ever founded in the world that puts such an accent on truth. Truth. Non-biblical religions have as their goal to put the believer, the adept, into harmony with the universe and the drives of the universe, whether it be a nirvana or whatever. In other words, if you remember, if you were there, the closed system and the open systems. The only biblical religion is open. So for most people, it's not truth, though there are some things they expect you to agree with. It's technique. But here, whoever teaches something different and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious teaching is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid disposition for arguments and verbal disputes. Pick up any of the, liberal periodicals. Christian. Argue, find fault, negative. I read them because I have to, but I mean, you get depressed. Isn't anything going right, you know? Now, from these come all these things that tear the church apart. Envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicious. This is what they're doing. What they really want is this, you see. Mutual friction among people with corrupted minds who are deprived of the truth. You see why the Lord established Peter and to preach the truth. Peter, Satan has desired to sift all of you, all of these disciples, like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, the Jew, having been converted, changed, will strengthen your brethren. That's his job. You see? It's so important that the truth be taught. The magisterium of the church is not a juridical function. It's a prophetic function. It keeps the gospel pure. Now, you know, sometimes they take their time, but they act, you know. Two fellows just wrote an article, published it in a periodical, which is pushing the envelope all the time, at least say that much. And we should reconsider the indissolubility of marriage. Well, two other theologians, wrote an article disproving that. And they wanted to put it in the same periodical, which is, you know, they wouldn't take it. So Rome said, put it in there. Now that's a prophetic function. See, the minds of all those who were tainted by that should be healed by the truth. You got to put it so the same subscribers read it. You see, that's what Paul is concerned about. But you see, you don't know the truth if you don't pray. We're not talking about two and two or four or how to build a bridge. We're talking about the nature of God, the nature of salvation, the nature of eternal life. You know, and for those truths, we're totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. The church lives by those, and we participate in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. The next line is very interesting. Deprived of the truth, supposing religion to be a means of gain. It can happen. Guys just raise a lot of money and then they kind of get really confused and so forth. So then he says, look, religion. I'm not going to take a long time with this, but you see, this is a very, what can I say? This is a university level document. I don't know what else to say. The terminology, this isn't the way Paul usually writes, right? I told you, and if you do it again, you're going to, I mean, that's Paul. Here, this is university lecture level. Beautifully done. It could still be Paul. There's no problem about that. Or, the most likely hypothesis, it's a disciple of Paul, who is a university lecturer, if you will. And Paul said, write this letter for me. And here are the points I want you to have. Let me see it when it's over, and I'll sign it. And so, it comes with this university lecture level of language and of exhortation. It's quite interesting that the Lord would not let the New Testament be written without this. So it must be okay to be a university lecturer. I mean, you know. See? But you, man of God, avoid all this. Woman of God as well. Indeed, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Those are all great Hellenistic virtues. You see. Compete well for the faith. That's Christian. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the noble confession, either at baptism or at ordination. You see, in the presence of many witnesses, he also says in this letter, stir up the grace you received by the laying on of my hands in the presence of many witnesses. And so, truth. Take care of our minds. Keep them open. Be alert. And try to embrace the whole of the church's tradition. I don't mean read every father of the church. I mean like just look at people like Faustina or Therese. Therese is a doctor of the church. They had no university type education, but they clung to the truth. They were transformed by the truth and they have spread the truth.